such a privilege and a special blessing to worship the Lord with you this morning. And tonight we have an opportunity to continue. We're coming right to Jesus, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And we're worshiping him together. Let's open to number 89 in our hymn books. And heard Brother Paul playing this song before. Let's join in worshiping him. His holy, precious, matchless, glorious name. we read about the redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Christ. And we say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you forever laying down your life that I might have life eternal, that I might know peace with God. This morning in the meeting, so we're trying to start right, as we said. This morning in the meeting, I don't want to put you on the spot, but there was a sister over here. You all know who I mean, so I'll say her name, Sister Minerva, who I was going to say jumped up, but she stood up and spoke a word for Jesus. And she got it in there. It wasn't forced. It was right out of the fullness of her heart. And it was a blessing to me because I wasn't sure that I should sing that song. I'm still not sure that I was supposed to, but someone had mentioned it to me in the morning. And it's not that I'm going to bother thinking about it anymore. You know, it's behind me. But you referred to it, and that was a blessing to me. And she just thanked the Lord for his presence and the fact that when Jesus comes, he makes everything different. He takes the gloom, he fills the light with glory, we sang. And she testified that that was her experience and how thankful she was that he breaks the power of the tempter and wipes the tears away. And everything changes when Jesus comes to stay. And I just want to use that as an example. Because up here at camp, we are encouraged to take part in the meeting in some way. I'm not saying that that would be easy. I think it wasn't too hard for her. But it might not be that easy for you on a Sunday morning to just get up and express yourself in front of all those people. But there's something for every one of us to do. I noticed in prayer meeting this afternoon, there were a number of people who led out in prayer. That was right, because God put something on their hearts, and they prayed out. And I don't mean that those who didn't pray out were wrong. I don't mean that at all. I'm saying that it was a good thing that those who prayed aloud did so. It was a blessing to all of us. And I just want to bring that out at the beginning, first day, that we're together, because it's important that we recognize that we're together in this and we're all worshiping the Lord. It's not just a spectator thing where everybody looks up here and waits for somebody to do something and then, you know, does the little critique. Well, that was it was hot in there and it was a little boring or whatever. And therefore, that's why I wasn't all there or whatever. You will be all there if you come to meeting every time and first of all acknowledge the presence of the Lord, thank him for it, and then there are always these two steps. Perhaps there are more, but I'm thinking of these two right now. Acknowledge the Lord, his presence, and thank him for it, and then present yourself to him and say, Lord, I'm here, you are here. What is it that you want to do for us all tonight? It's not just me. We are here in your presence. And is there something that you want me to do? Should I sing a solo? Should I speak a word? Should I pray for my brother at the altar? Or if you're a sister, should I pray with my sister? Maybe she has a special need. Maybe I should put my arm around her and just offer prayer and come alongside and give that support. Some way that God could use you along those lines of being a blessing for edification. He wants to do that. And tonight, because the Eucharist means the giving of thanks, certainly there ought to be some thanksgiving expressed on the part of some tonight for Jesus, for what he means to us, for what his salvation, what his atoning sacrifice means to me. Praise the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. So, Let's thank Him for such love, such wondrous love. Turn to 202, and as the writer to the Hebrews says, suffer the word of exhortation. Accept it and act upon it, okay, in these coming days. Let's remember that, okay? All of us have a part. 202, let's stand and praise the Lord for His great love. 202.
Thank you. guess I'll thank her privately, but Susan has to go home tomorrow, and so I thank her for coming up here to camp and making things so much easier for myself and my sons, who have this job this year of working with the staff, starting things off for us with the waitresses. And I also thank her publicly for the countless times that she has allowed me to just drag her out of the audience and put her up and sing with me. So thank you, my dear. You're the best. And I suppose there may be some, we don't have a lot of time tonight, but there may be a few of you who just want to thank Jesus tonight. I said it before, and I want to give the opportunity for a brief word of thanks.
I'd like to thank the Lord for Sister Susan also, because when the cooks don't have to worry about what's going on upstairs, things go smoother downstairs. It speaks to the tremendous unity that is on this staff. I am blessed by the unity on this staff so early in the period. Usually it takes a few days for all of us to get adjusted, but I've been blessed by the togetherness on this staff, and I'd like to share a word of scripture with Mary and the counselors and the Watch Rock staff. It's a verse that has been repeating in my life a lot lately, and I'd like to add that unity is also a part of holiness. You can't be an isolated Christian. You have a problem if you're an isolated Christian, because if you're thinking you're holier than thou, it doesn't work. And that came to mind when Brother Eddie was commenting about Greta Scott King's funeral. I watched portions of it, and I was taken aback by the discord. There was a lot of political grandstanding, and I had the opportunity to read Martin Luther King's autobiography last year, and I don't think he would have been happy with all of it. And so we have to keep that in mind, that any time we have a chance to stand up and testify, we have to do it in the spirit of unity, and that's in the spirit of holiness. So give this verse to the village and Watch Rock staff, and pray that it is our testimony as well as our prayer. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore.
Glory.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Eric. Blessing from above. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I know I said something this morning, and I don't want to become repetitious about anything. I don't want to take the credit either for being a testifier. I was taught at a young age to testify. I had good ministers, Sister Grace Schultheis, who encouraged me as a young person that you ought to testify. Brother Bob Callis, when we had work restraining courses years ago at Emmanuel, always said that if you would testify, you would grow in the Lord. And even when I was a counselor years ago, one of the rules back then at least was you had to testify if you were on staff at least once a week. And that was, Brother Gordon used to say, if you get up early in the week, then you don't have to wait till the end. So that was where the Lord helped me with that. But anyway, I want to thank God for the devotional that we have. I've been reading it since we got it back in May, and I think it's towards the end of the devotional. It talks about communion, and it talks about, do this in remembrance of me. And Francis Havergal talked about that there's a command there to do, but what is it that we're supposed to do? And it's that we're to remember. Remember what God did for us, that he sent his only son to die upon that cross to take away our sins, to open the way of salvation for every one of us. And I'm thankful tonight that I can remember that. I'm thankful tonight that the cross was ever there for me. I didn't deserve it. I don't think any of us could say we deserve it. It was God's great love and mercy. And tonight my heart just overflows with thanksgiving because of that precious, precious gift of God. And so tonight I just want to remember him and tell him, Jesus, I love you.
I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. love you, Lord.
I'm reading this morning in Isaiah 55, and it says that come, you should come, all, every one of us, you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of care. And then later on he says again, seek the Lord while he may be found. So we should come, we should listen, we should give our ears to him, and then we should seek him with all of our heart. And that has been a real blessing to me this morning, and I said, Lord, that's what I need to do. He's coming 2 weeks at least, and throughout the coming weeks after. I do want to seek the Lord as much as I can, although with the children, we don't have always the opportunity to do. But the Lord is always there, and even when we walk the road, we can keep in touch with him. And that's seeking, too, just to keep in touch with him. And he will come to us, and he will fill us anew. And I feel very much that we need a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit these days, and to our souls, and to our hearts, and to our lives. And he's only the one that can change us, cleanse us, and save us more and more, in other words. And he wants to save the boys and girls in the cottage, the girls in the village, and so we should seek the Lord with all of our heart.
Amen.
And let him really come to us as he wants to come.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, it's sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine.
Jesus. Where would I be without Jesus? I would be, there's no life without him, and I'm just so thankful that he's imparted to me himself. I opened my heart to him, and he came into my heart. And you know, it's been over 35 years since I gave him my life, and I'm so thankful I ever did. I'm so thankful I rendered my all to him. And you know, the Bible speaks, Jesus was a greater example, the greatest example there was of love. Jesus had great compassion. I, as I read through the pages of the Bible, the New Testament, the Gospel, I feel often that love that draws me from his words. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, I love those I am. My pastor is really, really into preaching the word with all the might, but he loves the I ams. He says it's 28 times in the New Testament. Jesus said, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. You know, if ever we need a good shepherd, it's these days where there's great turmoil out in the world. But I'm so glad that every morning I wake up and I say, Jesus, good morning. I love you more today. And I'm able to go out into that world and know that Jesus lives within me. That he doesn't leave me. He's within me if I walk according to his word and his commandments. And I'm so thankful for his word. You know, his word is the light to our souls. It helps us to go the right way. And it chastens us. I love when that preaching of the word brings conviction to my heart. I love that because I know that God loves me. And that because he loves me, he will chasten me. I like that. And I'm so thankful. You know, in the epistle of 1 John in chapter 4, it speaks, in verse 9, it says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. It is not that we loved God, but but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sin. And I'm so thankful. I still remember about 35 some years ago, I remember the Lord convicted me of sin. And I remember when I went to the Lord, he gave me 1 John 1:7. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I came to him on his terms, not my terms, but on his terms. And I'm thankful the word is established. And I thank him tonight for the communion table. How I long for that often, you know. I'm privileged. Every Saturday night we have a prayer meeting at my church. And every Saturday night, those that love the Lord come together. And we pray together. And then we have the communion table together. Oh, my heart. I love it. And I'm so thankful of Jesus. Jesus only. Jesus. He is the only one whom we seek with all our heart. You know, young people, I was young once. And, you know, I just had a birthday. I was away from my birthday, and I just had a big birthday. But, you know, I am so thankful that Jesus doesn't change. He loves young people. I minister a great deal among the youth. I'm a Sunday school teacher from 4 to 6 year olds, and they really are really great. I love them. And I'm just so thankful for the youth. I pray much for you young people. And I'm thankful the Lord has given me that desire, that has put that calling in my heart. And I love when young people persevere in the things of God, when they press on to know Jesus better. Because, you know, in life, there is nothing else that's going to last. Nothing else. Nothing else. Eternity is before all of us. Many of my friends have gone to be with the Lord. But, you know, everything they had in life, stayed behind. Nothing. They came to the Lord. And the things that they had done for him on this earth, that's all that counts. What we have done for Jesus while here on this earth. And I thank him for that. I thank him that he loves me. He loves me. And I am able to use that love that is imparted to me. I'm able to share with others and to bring that love to other lives. And I love him with all my heart. And I thank him. God bless.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's all testify with number 473. Was someone else getting up? Please.
I want to keep it in the sense of hope this morning. God, your dad said the presence of God, you want to pray because you know it in the beginning and it comes better at the end. I have a couple little hints how that could be. I got saved when I was about 18 years old, and I would come to this place here for the first time, like a lot of you young people. I would hear the older people there and testify about the presence of God, and this place was great, and so forth. And I was waiting for the so-called presence of God, and I didn't get it like they were getting it, you know, so. I knew I was just introduced into Pentecost. So, Pentecost was, you know, praising, lifting your hands, and so forth. I figured that's what I had to do. So, one morning, I was here, and I went out, I don't know, someplace far out that way, early in the morning, get up, and I was out there praising God, and yelling, screaming, looking for God. I figured that's how the presence of God would come. Well, the presence of somebody came, and it wasn't God. I'll never forget it. Brother Gordon Gardner, wearing his bathrobe, walking with his coat up the road, says, I got a call and thought somebody was getting murdered on me. There are two ways that I know. I mean, we're talking to the younger people. Because the older people should already know. They're already giving you hints. I walked into this place today, and on the outside, I felt the presence of God. And let me tell you how. I met with Paul. He welcomed me like he knew me from years old, which he did. We never really had a relationship, but he welcomed me with love in his heart. And I felt that. And a scripture verse came to me that I don't know where it is, but it said, they knew that the disciples were with Jesus. They knew that. And I knew that he was with Jesus. Then, of course, I up in the envy. And I really didn't have too much with him also, because he was a younger man, I was older, and there was Dad more. And he came over to me and my wife and introduced himself again, and he was talking, and I knew he was with Jesus, because he just kept showing his love. I felt it. He came back in, it didn't stop. He introduced me to his lovely wife. He just keeps showing love. So what I'm trying to say, especially to the young people, if you want, draw the Holy Spirit to you to show love to somebody, and just keep doing it. Somebody that might be backwards, a little embarrassed, ashamed, or whatever. Like we said earlier, put your hand around them, pray for them. And God, the Holy Spirit, because He really acts on the love situation. So just let your love flow, and you'll feel Jesus come close. The other way is, of course, don't do what I did, you know, yell, scream, so forth. Take God's word. He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you.
473. Let's sing together. Talks about His great love for us. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. Praise the Lord.
Stand with me on the last two verses. Come, sing on.
I